Hello there, friends. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles, California, on this Tuesday, November the 27th, 2012, from the Lucy Coleman Studio on the planet Earth, bringing you the webcast for today. The authority of a father figure. I want to thank, first of all, Brother Dean for calling me today. He was on the road, on the highway. And we had just a marvelous time having a discussion about certain things. Thanks for joining me on the webcast. Get your Bibles ready. You know, I've always loved good jazz. There's nothing matter with a nice trumpet and folk playing music and having a good time. And, you know, that's a part of who I am. I can't get away from that. And if you disagree with the music, I apologize. I just like good music. I do. I really like it. It blesses my heart. And I hope that it blessed some of yours. I want to quote a scripture to you. But before I quote the scripture to you, I want to tell you why I came to do this webcast. I came to do this webcast because if you listen very, very, very closely, on the tail end of the last webcast that I did, you will hear someone say in the background, "Come on, old man, you got to take me around the block or down the street or something." Well, that was Terrence. And the reason that Terrence wants me to take him is because sometimes it's just too dangerous in this part of town for you to go alone. And if you live in the inner cities anywhere in this country now, it gets like that now and then. And I found that interesting because after I listened to the webcast last night, I heard him asking me to take him somewhere before I put up the webcast and Jamie Foxx. That's another story altogether, because Jamie Foxx is a part of the broader, larger picture of sellouts. I call people like Jamie Foxx that are African-American making money and killing souls in my community. Those are the sellouts, the true sellouts. You're not sellout if you deal with white people or Latin people, or any other kind of people. You're a sellout when you blaspheme God and don't feel bad about it. That's a true sellout. So, but I'd gone down to, I guess you're going to call this my neighborhood shopping center, you know, where they have little whatnot stores, 99-cent stores. And in my neighborhood, we've never had these 99-cent places, but now I see them coming up more often than none. I guess these Korean retailers buy all this junk at a very gut level price and come into the ghetto and add maybe a dollar or two to it to make a profit. One of those stores. And I kind of like lollipops. I like suckers. And I was looking for suckers. I just wanted to suck on a lollipop. I guess I was having a flashback into the time when we would have lollipops. But I went to this store and they didn't have any lollipops, and there were three young black men standing outside of the little store. And I said, "And why are three young, good-looking, strong, young black men like you in my community standing in front of the store looking shiftless?" I wasn't talking about them. That's where I strike up a conversation, because you know my drill, right? I love black males. And the one that began to speak with me had obviously, what is it when you have a black eye, when you have that little puff right under your eye and it was black, like somebody hit him right in the eye. And I said, "What if I were a man that had jobs and I was offering to you, would you still be standing here in front of this 99-cent store? There's a 99-cent store, a donut shop, and very new in the community, a sexual porno place. And because they're putting those all in the community now. And they're selling the tapes at rock low prices. And people must be buying them. So one of the young men began to talk with me, and he said, well, what kind of job are you going to give me? And I told him, unfortunately, I don't have any jobs to give you. I was just wondering, would you be a taker if someone offered it to you? And the young man said to me, look at this little thing under my eye here. He said, and then he went on to tell me that that was his, that's all he gets out of life, is hit in the face. And it hurt me so bad. And the other two just kind of brushed me aside and act like I wasn't there because I'm old school, you know. They see old school talking with them. And three young men, you know me, I just looked at them and said, God, what God could do if he had them on his side. And I was coming back to the house with T, and I said, you know, it saddens me. And T acknowledged that. He says, I see the way you look when you look at them. You know, you see promise, you see hope in them. Basically, all three of the young men told me that they didn't see a very bright future for themselves. They were telling me that they would be dead within a couple of years anyway. Now, when they ran that down to me, that really threw me for a loop. I said, oh no, we've got to do something to turn this around. Now, something else happened today because I don't go to work until later on this day. Tuesday night is when I have my Tuesday night classes. And so I'm not going to be at the college until later. And I'm around here working, trying to get caught up on this schoolwork. And trust me, I got tons of work to do and I need to get it done. But I'm doing this webcast. And right now it's about 11, what is it, 12:15, so time is slipping away. But anyhow, I was thinking, it's obviously obvious that they don't have fathers, and then my friend Dean called me, and Dean Gocher. For some of you that know Dean. And we had a lively conversation. And Dean writes on his website, Research Authority Research. It's on my website. Scroll down towards the bottom of the page and you see a connection with right above the Bob Klink papers. You see Dean Gocher's website. And Dean often calls me and shares with me some of the things that he's thinking about. And that goes through his mind. And he was telling me, he says, I got it, John. And he was speaking to me about the particular scripture verse, Matthew chapter 23, verse 9, where Jesus is speaking and he says, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And I found this to be very interesting because I was sharing with Dean when he called me. I said, yes, that verse is impactful. Because ever since I've kind of like resigned from being a Congregationalist pastor, I've been looking at these young men in our society that's standing up shiftless, standing around with no ambition to go anywhere. Obviously, their fathers, their earthly fathers have failed them. And then what God immediately put in my mind, who is going to tell them about me? Their Heavenly Father. And of course, I'm the brightest candidate for that. Because I love these guys. And I see them standing around shiftless. They haven't quite fallen into the older guys. You know, you see them with their hair unkept, their clothes unkept. They're scratching their face, talking to themselves, pulling their pants down, taking a crap on the corner of a building. I'm not talking about that person. That person's scruples are gone completely. That's human depravity when it takes over a person in the modern era. It looks and smells horrible. These guys weren't there. These are the children of those guys who have never ever considered their true father. Now, I was looking at this when I looked through various Bible commentaries, and before I did the webcast, I like to do the research before I give my take on the verse. Do not call anyone on earth your father. What is God saying? Let's just look at the verse plainly. What is God saying through the mouth of the propitiation between God and man, the God-man, Jesus Christ? What is God saying through this propitiation when he says, do not call anyone on earth your father? Now, what is he saying? Because when you talk about father, you're talking about an authority figure. And so Jesus seems to be saying, and I'm not adding anything to this, he says, you're making a mistake if you try to get human beings to follow any authority on this earth. A banking authority, a military authority, an earthly authority such as your human father. What is he saying? He says, don't look to these people. Don't call them your father in that sense. You see, the word father denotes authority, eminence, superiority. The word father gives this entity a right to command you, and this authority has a claim to a particular respect of the person that they have authority too. Now, the claim that God has on every human being is that he created each of us. Though we were a zygote in our mother, placed there by the sperm and the egg of the male and the female, that as that grows, that this father authority over us, not the father that placed us there in our mother's womb, but the father that generated us while we were in that womb, attached to the inside of our mother's body. This is a right that God has done, and he has not given that right to man. Man did not bring forth this human person called you, the one that's listening to this human person called me, sitting here in this studio talking to you about this. All Christian brethren and human brethren, Christian and not, are equal. But God only has supreme authority. This is what Jesus is saying. God only is the one that has the supreme authority over any human's life. He only has a right to give laws. Now, he has arbitrarily given some of that right over to our earthly fathers. And of course, our earthly fathers, when I saw those three young men in front of the convenience stores and whatnot there, it's obvious that the earthly fathers had failed. I kept looking at them and said, how could an earthly father have laid with their mothers and made such a beautiful, oh my God, beautiful human being and abandon it? I've never abandoned my children. I don't know how any man could ever do that. Because when I see my children, which are a direct reflection of me and my wife, and I know that me and my wife were the instrumental characterizations that brought about the life of my children, how could I in any way abandon them? But when Jesus speaks in this verse, when he says, do not call anyone on earth your father, he didn't mean that Delia and Leslie should not call me their father. He didn't mean that. He meant something deeper than that. He was saying they are not the supreme authority in your lives. Oh, you people need to hear me. I told you that I am reading the Bible as it is. And Dean picked this up. And when Dean called me, he says, John, I just got, man. And I said, well, that's exactly what that verse meant. And I was quoting to Dean, Matthew 23:9. Now, if any of you find any other transliteration out of this, do your best. I'm not talking about what the evangelicals teach, because the evangelical church is an outright failure. Because why? Number one, they don't know how to love. The evangelical church does not love. Only people that love can understand God's word. My goodness, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. Do you think that the evangelical church is laying down their lives for anyone but their own selfish self? You know, this is beautiful once you look at this. So God is saying that he is the authority. God only has supreme authority. That's what this verse is teaching. He only has the right to give these laws and to declare doctrines and to bind one's conscience or to punish disobedience. No church, no human being in that thing that calls itself a church, none of them can do that. I could not talk poorly to those three young men standing out there, but my heart bled for them. See, you don't understand, PJ. I looked at them, and I want them in my classroom, me teaching them about their Heavenly Father. That's why Jamie Foxx made that statement when he said, to my Lord and Savior, Barack Obama. That's why Jamie made that statement. Jamie is one of those young men, a little bit older than that, but he is one of those men from the prior generation who has never had a father to tell him about his Heavenly Father, that he can equate Barack Obama, a merely fleshly object that is used by a political tool of bankers and rich people to enslave the rest of the modern world, along with the other world leaders. These men are not messiahs or savior. Trust me, there's only one of those. And he's the man that made the statement, don't call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Look what he says in verse 10. Do not be called leaders. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I recall when I resigned from being a Congregationalist church, I said, I don't want to lead this congregation. I can't. I can't. I am a strict biblicist now. And I want you people to hear me. I want you people to hear me. And some of you people that are pastors and you call yourself pastors and you're calling yourself the leader of that brigade of individuals. No, you got that twisted. Look at verse 10. And do not be called leaders, for one is your leader. That is Christ. The very man that made the statement was Christ. He said, you want a leader? I'm the head of the church. Don't make those dudes your leaders. Don't follow what they tell you to do. You follow what I told you. Now, what did he just tell me in the verse before? Stop calling. Don't pay any close attention to someone that tries to be the authority in your life. They are not. There's only one authority in your life. That's God. There's only one leader in your life, Jesus says. That's me. Now, and then what he does is he gives you a sheer recommendation on what a true leader looks like. But the greatest amongst you, see, because Jesus knew that he would not be amongst us. He knew that he was going back up to heaven until he comes back. You understand what he's saying? But he says, the greatest amongst you shall be your servant. In other words, do you want to know who the person is that's going to be greater? He's going to be the guy that's out there working, loving, serving, producing more about God and this truth that you people are listening to me give you. That is the one. Now, look what he says. If your pastor or if you, pastor, rejects this, or if you, the listener, reject this, he says in verse 12, whosoever exalts himself shall be humble. In other words, he says, if you see Jamie Foxx will be humbled. Anyone that believes in Jamie Foxx, you will be humble. And whosoever humbles himself shall be exalted. In other words, if you bring yourself down and say, you know what, God has let me know who and what I am. And God says, well, you found your way. But now look what he says in verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. In other words, a scribe was one that read the Bible, dissects it, exegetes it, puts it together, supposedly sharing it to the people. Pharisees, leaders religiously of the religious clan in Jesus' day. Then he calls them a name, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people. See, in other words, through all this mess and this subterfuge that you're putting up, you people better listen, you pimping preachers better listen. Because he's telling you right here in these verses, says you made yourselves the fathers of the people. What did they call, if you're in the Catholic Church, what do you call the priest? Oh, good morning, Father. I've been to the church and heard people call, Jesus, right? He says, he's not the authority in your life. What do you do to your bishops, to your pastors? Oh, pastor, you are leader. We're going to follow our leader. Remember what happened when that preacher in Georgia was taking all them boys, the hotel rooms with him and everything? What did the church say? We're going to follow our leader. What did Jesus just say there? And all you black folk and white folk, too, that voted for Obama, you call yourselves Christians? You're not Christians. You're not Christians at all. And if you are Christians, you're the worst kind. Because I'm reading this without the help of a commentary. See, now, the Jewish teacher in Jesus' day, one commentary says, affected that title of father because they seem to have supposed that a teacher formed the man or gave the man real life. And so they sought, therefore, to be called father because that's what a father is supposed to do in the life of a child. He forms the man. But Christ taught, and he taught it in clear distinction and beyond a shadow of a doubt. You listen to PJ. Christ taught that the source of all life and of all truth and of all wisdom and all guidance and all insight was God. And that the people that were listening to Jesus speak in his day should seek only God, but never to give that title, which properly belongs to God, to any other man, nor to give acquisition to anyone that gives themselves a title like that. Now, the title pastor doesn't necessarily mean leader. The title pastor merely identifies what you do. I shepherd a group of spiritual persons that come up. What do I shepherd them with? Only the words of God. I don't shepherd them with my opinion, nor do I shepherd them with my denominational backings. I don't shepherd them with threats of violence. Like, you know, when I make the statement concerning Jamie Foxx, that's not a threat. God has to protect his own name. I'm warning. If anything, I'm warning the Jamie Foxx, like I warn these young men that come around me. Sexual mayhem, man, these young people, you people better listen to me. These young people are having sex off the chain, off the hook. And these people are giving it up. That, if anybody's getting raped in this country, that's a shame because they are giving it up. Trust me, you don't even have to rape these women. These women are whores. Why? Because their fathers have abandoned them. I was speaking with a cousin of mine last night, and he told me that he knows a 16-year-old girl that has a baby, and her father and mother told her to get out the house when she got pregnant, and she did. And the 16-year-old girl is working two jobs, two minimum wage jobs, taking care of her baby in another city outside of this state and holding her own very well. And I asked my cousin, are you sure she's sick? He said, man, that girl is 16 years old. And what did her father do? Doesn't want to have anything to do with her. It is no wonder that this generation is growing up without putting forth any kind of obligation to needing a heavenly father when their earthly father does so wretchedly. So wretchedly. It's like, friends, sometimes I think I'm living in a comic book series, and I'm an old character in a futuristic comic book series of a land that didn't really exist. I hope you pick up what I'm trying to share with you. You have but one leader. You have but one Savior. And when, just give it to you like this, if I can add an addendum to what I said last night when I was talking about the Jamie Foxx thing, when he called Barack Obama his Lord and Savior, he was saying that Barack Obama is in the category of being his spiritual father, who is in the White House and not in heaven. You know, when we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed or holy, sanctified be your name, thy kingdom, your kingdom should come, the kingdom rule coming in my heart. Your will is to be done in my life on earth, because this is where I am, just as it is being done in heaven, where you are, Lord God Almighty. Now, how does he give a little bit of himself to be in us? Now, you understand more vividly the teaching of the Trinity in the Holy Spirit, God the Father. And then you have God the Son in Jesus Christ, God the Father, all spirit. Powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient spirit. Has always been, will always be, will never, ever cease to be. That's the Father. The aspect of the Son, humankind was so wretched and depraved that the Father loved humankind so much because he originally created humankind. And we see that acquiescing in the story of one Adam and his beloved wife Eve, the first man and woman. You may be from a different culture, but the story reigned supreme in each culture. There was a man and there was a woman. He did not leave that man and a woman without a witness. So what God the Father did was brought some consciousness to them. And after I don't know how long it took, Adam said, you know what? I need some help meet. God provided Eve. They start having babies. Obviously, there was nothing else to do but tend the garden and be lonely. And that's what the Bible says, that Adam was lonely because he saw of all the animals, they had a worthy companion and he had none. Now, God gives him the woman. Adam even says, this is woman, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Okay. Look at what has transpired after that first meeting. Look at what we're confronted with. It is my premise to say, just as it is Dean's premise to say, that until humankind calls upon their Heavenly Father to enact some safety, some kind of procedure to come back to God and to have them see this miraculous event take place, it is not going to take place in the traditional Christian's life. It has to be a person that would be daring enough to give his whole life for that. So, if you're going through that right and wrong of calling these people your father, you need to stop that right now. I didn't say to stop calling your daddy, daddy. I said stop calling the other people. And it would, okay, one more thing. I'll give you a striking illustration. If I were walking with my dad, holding his hand in one of these huge malls today. Oh, let me qualify that. I'm only 5 years old. And I'm walking with John Coleman Sr. in a mall. And I'm five, John Coleman Jr. holding his hand. Junior is holding Papa John's hand. If we could separate it in some way, I'm going to be quite nervous, shaking, and unsure about my next moves because I'm in an environment that I'm not familiar with. I don't know any of the faces that I've seen around me, and my hand has been clasped to him all this time, and all of a sudden he lets me go, and I get swept up into the crowd. I'm lost. I would be in the office crying for my father to come and to be by my side again because I would feel a sense of total uncomfortableness, you see. Let me end up by saying this. I think that Barack would deny what Jamie Foxx would say if he's a decent man. But I want to talk with you about your status as a Christian. I don't think that you can remain in very good fawning steps with God if you are not active in sharing these truths of Scripture the way that I've just shared it with you. Because that is what is going to get people redeemed. All this other stuff trying to develop separate groups for your biases and prejudices, that's what religion is. Now, if you are going to have a Bible study and a kind of a Christian ministry, you know that the authority of the father figure based upon Matthew 23 verse 9 is the authority figure of coming through the mediator, Jesus, directly to God. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. He who is in heaven. That's who our Father is. I hope that clarifies some things and help you live a little bit more of a happy and tangible life. I think this little clip should help you. God bless you. Whatever you do, stay in the Word.